Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Printing Impressions webinar titled Digital Efficiency, Digital Effectiveness, sponsored by Canon. My name is Barb Pellow, and I'll be moderating as well as presenting during the webinar today. I'm a group director at InfoTrends. Before we get started, I do want to take just a second to point out the tips for attendee widget on your console. It's the blue one with the wrench on it. In case you missed the tech tips video we played leading up to the webinar, you can always click on this widget for more information. So let's get started. You know, the digital revolution has turned countless businesses and business partnerships on their heads, not the least of which is the relationship between print service providers and their customers. And so what we're seeing in today's market is that to effectively compete, it requires that service providers demonstrate operational excellence as well as offer the right services portfolio. What we're going to be talking about today is those tools, services, and solutions that are required to make organizations digitally efficient and digitally effective. I'm going to share with you the latest statistics about how print service providers are investing those scarce dollars in solutions. And then I'm joined by Brian Dicker, and he's the president of Strom Automation Mailing. And Brian's going to talk to you about how they've retooled their business to both efficiently and effectively serve their customer base. So here's the topics that we'll be covering today. I'm going to spend some time on digital efficiency and digital effectiveness. Brian's going to take those concepts and really talk to you about how he translated those into action. We'll wrap with some recommendations and conclusions. And again, what we'll be doing today is taking questions throughout the webinar. And so please key them in the chat window, and we'll take them as we can. Now, let's talk just a little bit about digital efficiency and digital effectiveness. One of my favorite quotes is from Peter Drucker, and what he does is he says, if you're digitally effective, you're really doing the right things in terms of managing your business. If you're digitally efficient, you're doing the thing right, meaning that you're operationally excellent. Now, we just completed in the U.S. market a study of print service providers. And while this chart may be a bit of an eye test for some of you, the overarching message was that when you're a PSP in today's market, and one of those that grew in excess of 10% in the past 12 months, what you did is you had good balance in your operations. Not only did you invest in production, in IT, in administration, in design and creative, but you also made a substantial investment in terms of personnel for sales and marketing. And so what it says in this slide is that the most successful providers had a good balance, but oh, by the way, 25% of their personnel were in fact in sales and marketing. Now, the other component that we look at when we talk about digital efficiency and digital effectiveness is the whole concept around software investments. And what we're finding with service providers today is that they are as focused on implementation of the right software tools and solutions as they are the right equipment technology. Now, every year what InfoTrends does is we do a production software forecast, and we actually look at how you're spending your scarce dollars on a global basis in terms of key application areas. And what you'll see on this slide is there's a heavy, heavy emphasis initially on digital effectiveness. And where you're seeing dollars being invested are in systems like cross-media tools, print e-commerce, and transactional variable data printing. So I want to spend just a few minutes talking about what's going on in terms of digital effectiveness, and that's really doing the right things. And what when we talk about those customized communication solutions, what we're talking about are those tools that are used to create customized and interactive documents. Where we're seeing the investment take place are in variable data printing, and what you're seeing is graphic arts investing heavily in it. One of the areas that we're seeing a lot of emphasis in are things like image personalization, using tools like UImage from XMPie or Direct Smile. In addition, what we're finding is that customers are also evaluating how to do a much better job in terms of the integration of color and variable data, and they're looking at how to do a better job at getting into the realm of trans-promo and customer communications management solutions. Now, cross-media is also an area that's taken hold. Think about it for just a minute. We're hearing people want solutions that blend social, mobile, print, and online. And so what the vendors are doing is they're providing software tools that include personalized URLs, integration of mobile elements like QR codes and near-field communications tags, as well as augmented reality. They're delivering solutions that help you deliver social media capability, and it cuts across the gamut in terms of what your end customers want. The other piece that they're doing is they're not just providing the tools to generate codes, but they're helping you manage the campaigns by providing robust campaign dashboards and the ability to do a great job at tracking responses. Now, we look at the market, and the reason this is important to you as an audience is this is where your peers are investing their dollars. And so what we're seeing when you look at this slide is that the transactional variable data marketplace is growing at about a 10% compound annual growth rate. A lot of that is driven by the emerging inkjet technologies, where you're seeing people get away from pre-printed forms and migrate into a complete white paper workflow. So that's having a major impact in terms of leveraging those transactional VDP solutions. You're seeing continued investment in graphic arts VDP, and you're seeing an 18% growth in cross-media solutions. Let's talk about that for just a minute. What we're finding in the marketplace today is that there's blurring in terms of the solutions. And what you've got are graphic arts variable data campaigns that are being driven by web-enabled services that let templates integrate variable data. We're seeing people look at variable data, and it's become a much more mature market. You see a lot of implants and commercial printers that have made the investments. And so today what they're doing is they're really looking at, what do I need to upgrade my system? Cross-media is just starting to take hold in the marketplace. And you saw on that last slide there was a small base of implementations in the cross-media side. But it's growing, and, you know, it's getting rapid adoption. There's high interest in corporate marketing and digital agencies, and hence what we're seeing is interest growing in terms of print service providers. We're also seeing the solutions become much more robust. When you look at tools like XMPie Circle to manage and create campaigns, it's a good example of what's going on in the marketplace. The other big area that's changed and that's going to continue to change is that service providers are going to need to integrate with marketing automation software. And you're going to see things like Marketo and Adobe Campaign be driven, and your customers driving to integrate the campaign with some level of drip-type marketing and actually automate that marketing. In terms of transactional variable data, enterprises and service bureaus are investing in the solutions that really enable them to manage those communications centrally and holistically. What they want is very robust composition platforms, and they want those composition platforms to deliver across multiple channels. They're also trying to get rid of a lot of those legacy applications that are out there. That business user really wants to reduce his or her dependency on IT. So what they'd like is the ability to be able to have simple design tools where they could impact some of the direct mail and statement type applications. You're seeing enterprises that are focused on rationalizing platforms. There was a history of companies that had a lot of different document composition platforms, and what they're trying to do is standardize. And last but not least, you always have to think about the cloud. And you're clearly seeing substantial increases in deployment of cloud-based services. And so when we take a look at the market, and I'm going to start and just share with you what we forecast by segment. Graphic arts and the investment in terms of what I categorize as a digital effectiveness implementation, the graphic arts variable data investment is growing at a 5.7% compound annual growth rate. Clearly, more and more personalization. We just completed a vertical market study. We actually surveyed more than 1,000 enterprises. And what we found was that more than 60% of the campaigns that they were running were either personalized one-to-one or they were segmented one-to-few. Now, the growth is somewhat limited, but that's because a lot of the PSPs and the implants have really taken a hard look at, I need to offer variable data capability. You're starting to see an uptake of server variable data print solutions in the enterprise for brand management, print management, and digital asset management. And the other big component is that because of the limited resources that a lot of service providers have, they're looking at software as a service options, and that could impact some of the more server-oriented based solutions. Now, we talked about cross-media growing at a rapid pace. And the message is a real simple one, which is customers want to minimize the number of interfaces they have with suppliers in the market. And to the extent that that PSP can offer a cross-media capability, it adds substantial incremental value. In the enterprise study that we did recently, what we found out was that 45% of buyers, and I think that's a big number, are really looking for print service providers that can offer integrated solutions. It's a big opportunity for implants and corporate locations to deploy multi-channel solutions to their end-user departments. And quite honestly, what your customers want is the ability to deal with end-to-end workflow. And what they'd like to be able to do is have you interface with their customer relationship or their CRM system and have you take that campaign end-to-end and automate it and get that actual application out the door. Now, the other component that we talked about, and this is growing at about a 10% compound annual growth rate, is the whole transaction VDP side of it. And clearly what you've got is transaction page volumes are not going up. The companies in the marketplace would like to move everybody to electronic distribution. Alternatively, they also want to improve the customer experience. And so what they're doing is they're looking at the marketplace and they're saying, I'm going to be forced, because a subsegment of my population wants content in print, I'm going to be forced to offer it in multiple different ways. But I also want to be able to integrate that with mobile and interactive elements. One of the big things we're seeing as an example in transaction documents, especially related to customer service, is people are blending in quick response codes and NFC tags. The logic behind that is I can put a link into a video, so if I've got some new service offering, I can be looking at my statement with my mobile phone sitting next to me, linking to a video to learn more about a specific new option or offer. They're investing in transactional VDP because of the regulatory changes. We tell everybody, think about the impact on regulations of Obamacare, and if they're doing statement work, they have to be very agile in terms of responding to those regulatory requirements. Clearly, you know, there's a requirement for the electronic invoicing and payment side of it, and then they want to do centralized tracking and auditing. So investments today are really being made with an emphasis on digital effectiveness, and that means doing the right thing. But in parallel with that, what we're seeing is a heavy, heavy emphasis on operational excellence. And that says, well, I've invested in the software to do the right thing. I also need to be operationally excellent. And there's a number of solutions out there that are working to improve and optimize workflow efficiency. One of the biggest areas that we see is taking jobs in over the internet and having highly robust web-enabled solutions. We're seeing a lot of emphasis on managing your business more effectively through investments in good print MIS systems, and then really managing the workflow so that you can minimize the number of touches on any document. And I have a good friend that's in the printing industry that always tells me, Barb, anytime somebody touches something, money is lost. Now, that being said, we just completed a survey, and we did do a software investment outlook. And one of the things that service providers said was the following. They said that what they were focused on and one of the most important initiatives relative to their strategic direction was reducing production costs and improving efficiencies. Now, when we looked at the growth opportunities in the marketplace, first and foremost, what we saw was print e-commerce. And the rationale behind an 8.3% growth in terms of the investment that service providers are making is pretty simple. First of all, what happens is if I'm dealing with web-enabled solutions, I all of a sudden can tear down the geographic boundaries. I can offer my services anywhere, any way. The second thing is when we surveyed corporate enterprises, one of the things that they told us, and this is not mom and pops, this is large enterprises, those that employ 500 plus people, that by the end of 2014, they were going to be procuring more than 40% of their print via the web. We're also finding companies that are converting from those homegrown systems to standard software solutions. And the logic behind that is that those software systems are pretty expensive to maintain, and what they're looking for are ways that they can get, in essence, other people's resources to do that work. That's leading to migration to web-enabled software-as-a-service models for web to print. The other thing that we're seeing is these e-commerce solutions are being integrated with both cross-media and workflow solutions. Now, the next big area that we're seeing an investment in is production workflow management. And the first thing that we're seeing is a lot of companies where you're offering multiple services, including wide format, which is a high growth area for commercial printers and implants, they're trying to expand their workflow management to incorporate things like packaging and wide format production. They're upgrading systems so that they effectively will integrate with those MIS systems as well as web to print document front ends and color management. Another big area that we're seeing is the concept of taking this business process and actually migrating it to the web. And so we're looking at software as a service offerings that are going to help in terms of the overall production workflow management. The other component is that these systems are getting more and more robust, and what you're getting is the ability to actually deal with production data analytics and get robust dashboards that let you visualize what's happening in your shop. When you take a look at the breakdown, what you're seeing is that the area of biggest growth is actually in digital workflow management versus the conventional offset side of the marketplace. Another area of investment is clearly this whole concept of print MIS. And, you know, the current systems are being upsold with new functionalities and modules. You're seeing in a lot of different organizations the ability to integrate packaging, industrial, and wide format capabilities. People, again, in this marketplace are saying, I'm going to get rid of my homegrown system, and I'm going to invest in something that's much more structured. The other component is we've watched a marketplace where there's been a lot of merger and acquisition, And now what you've got is a requirement to basically offer multi-site business management. And finally, what you want to be able to do is you want to know real time what's going on in your shop. And so what you're seeing is there's an opportunity with mobile to enable those print service providers to access what's happening in the shop, and then it supports much, much better decision making. We're also seeing a lot of emphasis on transactional direct mail. And what you're seeing is, and we talked a bit about this, but this whole migration in terms of production management from, I used to be able to get pre-printed shells and overprint with a black and white device, to white paper in color production. Now, that whole production management piece, clearly I've got requirements that are very focused on regulatory compliance and print integrity. And so that's absolutely critical. We're also seeing cloud deployments for transaction production management for the automated document factory. So all of those things have an impact on the growth in managing that whole transaction workflow much more effectively. The other area that we are seeing some focus on is the fact that, you know, we've got the rise in personalization. There's a demand for better data cleansing solutions outside of the data processing environments. Now, when you take a look at what's out there today, what you're finding is there are great solutions that let you track and trace every document and make sure that the print that you deliver is high integrity. We're seeing, you know, spooling and transactional print output management solutions that let you track, trace, and report, and that help you manage insertions. We're seeing solutions out there that if there's an error in the print process that gets caught, I can do simple reruns. And then we're seeing great mail prep software to do data cleansing. And so when you take a look at the market and the forecasts that we have between, you know, 2012 and 2018, continued investment in mail prep software, as well as, by the way, high levels of investment in the overall transactional workflow side of the market, again, largely driven by a lot of the changes that are taking place in the inkjet side of the market. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it over to Brian Dicker, and I will check questions, and we'll make sure we get to all your questions that you might have had during the initial part of the presentation. But I'm going to turn it over to Brian, because what you'll see when you listen to Brian talk about his business is that he's clearly gone through a lot of change, and he's clearly made investments in making his business much more efficient as well as much more effective. And again, we'll get to questions as the webinar progresses. So, Brian, take it away.
Hi, my name is Brian Dicker, and I'm the president of Strom Automation in Kansas City. I believe you saw the first slide that was of our sign out front. It's a vintage neon sign. I love it. If you're in Kansas City, drop by and look at my sign. When I graduated from college, I started with a forms manufacturer called UARCO. That was my first jumping into the printing industry. I was there a very short period of time, and then I worked for Xerox for 10 years. My last assignment at Xerox was calling on the graphic arts industry. I then came up with this amazingly great idea that I could buy a printing company and get them into mail. So I bought a very small printing company that wasn't doing all that well, and gradually got them out of offset printing and totally digital, primarily built around direct mail. Strom has been around since 1913, and as I said, we transformed in the 90s from a offset printing company to a digital printing company. When I first bought Strom, we were only 8 employees. We did less than $1 million in sales, and gradually we grew from there to today. We're at 85 employees, and we run 24 hours a day, 5 days a week. We've got 8 programmers. We do imaging. We have Fluttershop bindery, and we have pre-sort in-house. Our primary marketplaces are the public sector, financial services, and healthcare. We do a lot of it this time of year, tax statements for different municipalities. We do a lot of utility bills. We do a lot of healthcare-related things. We've seen a huge growth in wellness and test results, which is something that we print a lot of, which then hits us with a lot of compliance issues built around HIPAA, built around just a lot of outside agencies turning around and auditing us because we get confidential taxpayer information and healthcare results and financial services. We do about 75% of our volume is transactional mail. Part of that is transactional direct mail, but most all the jobs that we do, we get data all night, we print all night, we print during the day, and we insert, and it mails same day. That is 90% of what we do.
Hey, Brian, I do have a question for you. What are the biggest compliance challenges that you have today?
You know, our biggest compliance issues is that bank regulators are coming down on the banks really hard for not just them being compliant, but their service providers to be compliant. So we do internal and external penetration tests. We do SOC, an annual SOC audit. We turn around and have multiple financial services and government regulatory agencies come into our shop and test things, which is a huge burden on a company our size. We have, you know, a couple of us that are intimately involved in it, and it's a difficult thing. But if we're going to compete in the marketplace that we compete in, we have to get the compliance testing done.
And Brian, somebody asked the question. I mentioned Obamacare. What has the impact been on your healthcare customers of Obamacare?
A lot more regulatory mailings. That is the first thing that we've turned around and seen.
So for you, it's good news?
It's very good news. It's very good news. You know, there's a lot of regulatory requirements where your existing customer base has to be informed of this, this, and this. But in many cases, they can't be in the same envelope. They have to be separate mailings. And we're seeing a lot of those. And many of the healthcare providers are seeing the regulatory things differently. So some are doing it this way and some are doing it that way. And every week we have somebody come out of the woodwork and go, I believe in order to fulfill this regulatory requirement, this is what we need to do. And then you become a problem solver of how do we turn around and get there.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Our biggest challenge in our shop is the number of jobs we do. We do easily 2,500 jobs a day. I have one customer that we do over 12,000 jobs a month for, and the average run length is 100. So imagine having to manage all the shells associated with all that. You know, we were in a cut sheet environment, and just the managing the shells turned around and was very, very complex, problematic. Operators having to ensure that they're overprinting on the correct shell. So we really, really wanted to go to a print-on-demand model. But up until really very recently, you know, a zero-graphic print-on-demand model would only work with very short run lengths and was very, very, very expensive even at that. Very high quality, but expensive. Inkjet enabled us to turn around and go clean sheet with near offset quality, and the color was very, very affordable. Multiple years, we looked at Inkjet for 4 or 5 years. Multiple years back, we started coining the phrase of color appropriate. With some of our clients, our work has to be brochure quality, but with other clients, you look at a utility bill, it probably didn't have a great print job on the shell to start with, and we started trying to figure out how do we get appropriate color that's cost-effective to get away from all these starts and stops that we do in a day, which then all – yes.
Brian, how did you – you know, obviously inkjet is expensive. How did you – one of the questions that came is how did you justify making the investment in inkjet? You know, what kind of volume did you have? Was it easy to migrate? How did you make that decision?
I hope you took notes on the question. First, you know, the cost of the machine in the scheme of things is the smallest component, and I have a slide later where I go through that. We looked at what was soft costs, but they really were hard costs. What does it cost to check in a piece of stock at a dock? What does it cost to then get it into inventory? What does it, when we have a job, cost for someone to go back, pull the stock, get it to a machine, stick a sheet of paper in the machine, proof it, and then run a job, then pull the stock out, and then take it back to the warehouse? You know, all of those are real costs. So anytime that we could migrate to a clean sheet, it saved us a lot. And we've seen the efficiencies over the years. We've seen the efficiencies pretty quickly.
How much pre-printed stock did you have? How much pre-printed stock did you have to warehouse?
I had probably 40,000 square feet of just stock and envelopes, and it was split pretty evenly between stock and envelopes.
And how has that changed?
We're 4 months into the implementation of our first inkjet printer.
Mm-hmm.
And I was back walking through the warehouse today, and I saw roll stock in an area that was probably 2,000 to 3,000 square feet that was just used to be just shelves, and it's empty now. You know,
okay,
and we're
great.
At the very, very beginning of the migration.
Okay, perfect. Thanks.
Going back to challenges, we grew up as a cut sheet shop, and a cut sheet device, as everybody knows, is a pretty easy device to run. You have to have an operator with a skill set to run a computer, and if they can run a computer, they can pretty much run a cut sheet device. When we then decided to go to a zero graphic continuous device, one of the things we really didn't think through and became very, very apparent was that a continuous device isn't only just computer run, but it's a very mechanical thing also. Dealing with the pre and the post, you know, loading the paper, we go roll to cut sheet, dealing with the cutter, doing changeovers, was very, very challenging for my operators. And it was very challenging for my OEM service provider because they were very apt at their engine, but they were supporting the whole line, and it took them a while to get up to speed. And when I say a while, we had a tough 3 months, and we had a rocky first year. But in the end, it was worth it. Because we were running a zero graphic engine, starts and stops really didn't matter. You could start and stop all day. But when you go to inkjet, you have to really manage your workflow different because you want to run. You don't want the lag time between jobs to be so long because you have heads that have to be purged and kept moist and all of those things. So it's been a challenge for us with changing our workflow. And as we've migrated jobs, we have shells. We have jobs that were printed on xerographic color that when you migrate to inkjet, the color gamut is slightly different, in many cases greatly different. And managing that expectation level with your customer, managing it internally so that you go, okay, what I was sending here, and now what I'm sending here look vastly different. How do I change the files up front? And by changing it, was it always wrong and now it's right? You get into a lot of pre-press that traditionally we didn't have to do a lot of pre-press. And now we have a person on staff that is what she does, is changing overlays and changing things from RGB and CMYK so that we turn around and get the output that the client wants.
Just a quick question. Could you describe, and one of the participants asked, if you would, and I have to tell the others on the line that this is not a paid political announcement by Canon, but could you describe to the audience what you bought in terms of technology for inkjet? And I had that request come in from one of the participants, so I'd appreciate if you do that, Brian.
So actual brand and model?
Yeah.
Okay. I have an Osei 3500. I have a twin tower.
Okay.
And
how, what's the speed on that, and what kind of throughput are you getting?
75 meters per minute. And I think there's 3.2 feet to a meter.
Okay.
We're getting approximately 60,000 impressions an hour out of the device.
Okay.
Which would replace at least six high-speed cut sheet devices.
Okay.
At a much more reliable, continuous is much more reliable. And inkjet is such a simple technology compared to xerography. You know, the uptime is much, much higher. If you're going to have a service call, there's a 2/3 to 75% chance that the service call is going to be on the pre or the post, not on the engine. The engines are very, very reliable. It's a very reliable technology across all the vendors.
Okay. Thanks, Brian.
When I started looking at this technology 4 or 5 years ago, we couldn't justify it because the amount of jobs that we could move over were very limited because of the color appropriateness. The engines were expensive. The papers were through the roof. Expensive to allow you to get some quality off of it, and inks were very expensive also. What we saw in the last 4 years, especially in the last 18 months, 12 months, is that the quality of the inks has risen dramatically, and the cost of the inks have dropped dramatically. The number of paper providers has increased, and the cost of the papers has decreased dramatically. And about a year ago or 9 months ago, we decided it was now time to turn around and make this decision. We went back out in the marketplace. We did our evaluation of 4 different vendors. We narrowed it down to 2 vendors relatively quickly and paid political announcement. We had very, very good luck with our OEM, and our relationship was very good with them, and so we decided that this was what we were going to do. And
now, I don't mean to slow you down here, but one of the big questions that came in is, could you tell us what kind of papers you are running through the device?
I'll first give a little bit of lecture on paper. You know, one of the challenging things of buying an inkjet from any of the vendors is very few people know anything about the technology and all the implications of the technology. So getting to the right person is challenging. Getting information about paper is very challenging because your paper provider probably doesn't know anything about it either. Inkjet papers come in really 2 varieties. It's inkjet treated paper, which means that something's been added with the slurry as they turn it into paper that is throughout all of the fiber that makes it so that you can control the dot gain, you know, this liquid dot that falls down. The second level is they've taken that paper and they put a coating across it, which gives you even more control over the dot. And when you have more control of the dot, you get better images, plus it enlarges the color gamut. Nobody informs you of all of these things up front. And so in the very beginning, we brought in about 10 or 12 stocks. We turned around and didn't have any stocks that were just downright unacceptable. But when you compare the different papers, we obviously would see some images were better than others. Some stocks had a little bit of yellow in it, so it changed. Most of the inkjet stocks have a very high white point, or they have blue to them, and you get some very good images. The stock that we chose to do every day is the Ziegler 650. We think that the image quality for daily jobs on that stock, it was the highest compared to the 3 or 4 different vendors that we looked at. We also run a stock that's a CHOM, which is the same Ziegler stock then coated, which gives us a very, very good output. We would be we would challenge someone to notice the difference between, on many jobs, between it and the output of our iGEMs.
Let me ask one other quick question. What about the weights on the various stocks that you're running through the device? Are there any limitations there?
On our device, the manufacturer says up to 160 GSM. We are running 160 GSM. I received in the mail a piece that was printed on a like machine that was on stock that was heavier than 160 GSM. The limitations are more that heavier stock has a tendency to bounce, and you really need the stock to stay consistent as it goes by the head, since really the inkjet heads are dropping the ink, and you want that distance to be consistent. So I believe that heavier stocks will become more viable as paper handling within the machines is changed.
Okay. And then just one other quick question, and that is, are you running both coated and uncoated stocks?
When I'll clarify. The answer is yes, but the answer is different than probably what you think. I'm running inkjet coated, which is a coating that's put on top of the paper that is not gloss coating. So you need to be, within our shop, we always need to be careful that we're phrasing things the correct way, because it's inkjet coated, which is not a gloss. We do not run gloss, and to my knowledge, running gloss through an inkjet is not a great thing, because the ink will not adhere to the surface and it makes a little bit of a mess.
Great. Okay, thanks.
I'm going to go back to how I justified the machine. I totally justified the thing on digital efficiency. You know, we turned around and just looked at what does it cost us to do it today. If we don't grow our marketplace at all, what will it cost us if we migrate to this technology? And we could justify it on that. And we're a relatively low-volume shop. We're doing about 16 million impressions a month, and most of it oversized or two up. So we justified in that. But literally, in these first 4 or 5 months, we've had so many things that have migrated to the printer that we never thought would migrate to the printer. We have customers. We did an open house. We turned around and have done many one-on-ones. And we've had customers who then say, do the right thing. We would love to implement more color, variable color, this into our workflow, of which we never had a device that could do that cost effectively. And now we have a device that does it cost effectively. We monitor our ink usage very, very closely on a job-by-job basis. We analyze it weekly, and the ink costs that we got from the manufacturer have held true, if not actually lower. We're very happy with the cost of running the device.
Okay. Let me ask you another question, Brian. One of the questions that came in from the audience was, are there any special weather or internal climate control considerations with inkjets?
No more than you had with a xerographic device.
Okay.
Oh, I was just told I wasn't advancing my slides.
That's all right. I've been advancing them for you.
Oh, good. I was staring out my window. I'm in an area of town where I'm in an old building. I have a very, very drafty old building. It's actually 5 buildings that just kept getting added on, and there was an old offset printer in here. My windows are vintage windows. They leak. We do have a humidification system. We do stay within specifications for humidity. But, you know, it's warm in here sometimes in the summer, and it's cold in here sometimes in the winter.
Okay.
But so far we have not had any issues.
Great. Okay, thanks.
I believe I'm open to questions.
Okay. I was just going to ask two quick things. You had in here a bit about your, you know, mission and objectives, and as well as the tools you're using. And I talked a little bit about digital efficiency and digital effectiveness. And my question of you is the following, which is, you've got, on this slide, a series of tools that you're using today. And talk to me a little bit about why you made the investments in them. And I'll go through. As an example, you've got XMPie for cross-media, PrintShot Mail for variable data. And those are all tools that we talk about on the effectiveness side. How have those helped in terms of running your business better? And as well as, by the way, GMC for document composition. What have they done to enhance the effectiveness of your offer?
Our primary document composition program is GMC.
Okay.
We were on the HP Extreme, and we felt that multiple years back that GMC at that point had a superior product. We moved over to GMC. We managed the floor with a product that's through MailShop. XMPie, we, like many, many people, are playing with cross-media marketing. I went out 2 years ago and hired a graduate out of a college here in Kansas that pumps out graphic arts majors, and she manages all of our cross-media marketing. She tweets for us, and she blogs and does all of those things. We have had minimal to marginal success with us doing that. Our primary marketplace is transactional mail, and I think it's sometimes challenging to get away from your core, which we're working on that. And I've been willing to continue to fund it because I believe that that there absolutely is a marketplace for that.
One other question that came through, how do you feel about TransProMar? Your customers, when you talk about the digital effectiveness side of this, are they driving you to add more complex variable data offers and blend that with color, or do you still see that as its infancy, as being as its infancy?
You know, I think it's definitely still in its infancy, but our clients have definitely moved towards variable campaigns within invoicing, especially in financial services. We have had the ability, but we were doing it black and white. Now we're doing it in color, hitting on monthly bank statements, presenting different products and different products on a segment group by segment group by segment group of, have you looked at car loans with us? Have you looked at home mortgages? Have you looked at VIP checking or whatever?
Okay, great. Now, the other question is, given the capabilities that you've got, whether it's GMC for document composition or it's getting into cross-media with XMPie, how do you incorporate your software capabilities into your sales effort and your messaging with clients?
Right now, we've done a better job of eating our own dog food than selling the dog food.
Okay.
I believe that we do a very good job of communicating with our clients through cross-media marketing. Then selling the campaign is more of a challenge. We've sold multiple campaigns, but it hasn't taken off as well as we had hoped it would.
Okay, and,
too much
and you're doing a good job at marketing it, but you still haven't got orders in house. Is that kind of the net of it?
I believe that is the net of it. Yes.
Okay. Now, I'm going to ask you, what do you think you need to do to change that, or is it just, market conditioning?
I believe that for us to be successful at it, I need to develop its own internal group. That's all they get focused on.
Okay.
I think that, like many small, medium companies, I've got 85 employees. It's tough to stay focused on something that you're trying to get off the ground when you are doing very, very well at what your core business is, and it's growing at a good pace.
Okay. Now, let me ask you one other question. So we talk about operational excellence and efficiency. With Inkjet, and you may not be able to answer this explicitly, but when you look at how – the question came in is, how many workers do you need to run the Inkjet job from start to finish, you know, from basically make ready all the way through to getting something inserted and out the door in an envelope? And so it's kind of like, what's happening on the touch side, and how are your production efficiencies improved?
The Inkjet has had no effect once the print comes off of the printer. Our bindery, our letter shop, it's operating the exact same way. The effect that has happened is not having to pull stock, being able to group more jobs together, and being able to just get more throughput. And doing that with one operator rather than really an operator and a material handler, the challenge is doing the quality process. Our quality process that we were doing before ensured that everything is correct, but we touch everything a lot. And at the speeds of Inkjet and the way the technology is that it doesn't like to stop between jobs, we're having to really rethink and ponder our workflow around how we do quality process on jobs and ensuring that jobs are not just 99.99 correct up front, but that they're 100% correct up front so that we don't have to touch them as much.
Okay. Next question, in a curiosity question from one of our participants, but what's the difference in your perspective, and I can add some flavor to this, but what's the difference between XMPI versus GMC when you start looking at cross-media? And, you know, if you can't answer, by the way, if I'm asking a question you can't answer, I don't know is an all right answer, too.
You know, we chose both. I'll say that GMC is a lot more powerful tool for document composition.
Exactly.
You know, it really, really can get through a lot of pages and out to the printer very, very quickly, and we can automate the processes. XMPI was not as strong there, but XMPI really had to us, and I know that GMC now has launched more modules, but it was doing stuff earlier, and so when we adapted it, we didn't have the ability to do it in GMC. So then I have a comfort level across. I've got 8 programmers and that includes my graphic arts person. So 3 of them are using the XMPI product. All of them use the GMC product.
Okay. And I think one other thing, I'll just pause for a second. But Brian hit the nail on the head in terms of some of the differences. And basically what you've got is when I need a high-speed, robust document composition engine where I'm going to put, you know, mail piece to mail piece, different paragraphs on every document, and I want to run it.
Pulling images in.
And pulling images in, and I want to run it at, you know, feet per minute. GMC is a good solution. Alternatively, when you start looking at tools like XMPI, the robust campaign dashboards, the ability to do things like variable imaging, there's a set of capabilities there that really makes it very robust for the direct mail market. And that's kind of, you know, that's kind of a layman's definition, but it's, you know, the XMPI stuff content is really does an awesome job at direct mail. Whereas when I'm dealing with complex transaction documents and I'm changing text and images on the fly, it's very robust and it's very high speed for doing that. And Brian, I'll ask, is that did I share that correctly?
Yes, I would agree.
Yeah. Now, another question: what type of pre- and post-processing equipment do you have?
With my unit, it came with a Hunkler unwinder, and
yep.
We have Hunkler Post. I got a dynamic perfing machine so that we can add the perfs on the fly, not have to load a perfed paper, a pre-perf paper. And then we have a Hunkler cutter. So we go roll to cut sheet, and then that fits with the rest of our workflow.
Okay. And then one last question, and then we're going to wrap up here. But I asked this and maybe didn't ask it in the same way, but if you look at your offset forms, what was your initial quantity of offset forms that you had, and how much has that changed?
Well, yeah, my projection is that in 2015 we'll eliminate 80 million, at least 60 million forms that either we were acquiring or our customers were acquiring and sending over. You know, it's a huge number. It's a huge number. A lot of warehousing, a lot of material handling that won't have to be done.
Okay. And then just one other quick question. What type of proofing methods do you provide to the end customer?
You know, we have some web-based. We do a lot of traditional. We do very, very few hard copies anymore. Most of it's PDF or some web-based to PDF.
Okay. Terrific. Well, I'm going to wrap up just real quickly. First, I want to thank you, Brian, for sharing with everybody. But I want to just wrap up with a couple of final thoughts. And we started this with, you know, the concepts around digital efficiency and digital effectiveness. And what we're seeing in the marketplace today is that you've got to really work on a couple of different trajectories. First of all, the most successful firms are making continuous investments in, you know, the right technologies, both equipment and software, retooling business processes, and sales and marketing. And what you have is the ability to operate on a couple trajectories. And what Brian's doing is really operating on both of them. He's blending speed, quality, efficiency, sustainability, with blending in innovation. And that says that what he's doing is he's got a great software portfolio that he can offer new and different solutions to his customer base. And so when we look at the market today, what I've got are, if companies aren't both operations and innovation driven, they're struggling. If I'm strictly operations driven, I might survive. And if I'm both innovation and operation driven, what I'm going to do is thrive. And so it says that I've got to be both digitally efficient and digitally effective. And so I'm going to wrap up with a final quote from Peter Drucker, again, one of my favorites, and it says, you know, innovation and doing new things like inkjet and software tools and better production management is a specific instrument of the entrepreneur. It's the act that endows resources with a new capacity to create wealth, and I think that's exactly what Brian's done. So I am going to thank everybody for their time and attention today. You know, if you have another question to ask, we will respond to you via email, and we'd appreciate if you take a moment to fill out the survey. Thanks to everybody, and have a great rest of the day.